By the clock, we're a minute early. By Verizon time, we're a minute late. So split it, and I'm on time. Good morning, everybody. We have some guests with us. We're so glad that you are here today and amongst us. And we have our members here, and so we're glad that you're here as well. We've had several that have been out of town and back with us, and so we're glad that they've had a safe trip. And it looks like our health, for the most part, is doing well today, and we've got a good number with us. And so it's great to see everybody, and we want to remember about this afternoon with the radio program, as well as being back together this afternoon at 4 o'clock to worship once again. So we want to remember that. Also continue to pray for our radio program, our TV program, several Bible classes that are going on, several that are taking the Bible correspondence course, and several also that are receiving the bulletin. Many times we don't say thank you, but we have probably half of our members that are sending out bulletins, and so thank you so much. If you want to be added to that list to send out bulletins, I would say see myself, but to get it done, you probably need to see Chanel. I'm just being honest. Want to continue to remember several in our prayers. Let's remember Brother Warren, as he will be having a procedure done on Wednesday. I don't know if he wants us to use the word operation. So we'll say procedure done on Wednesday. I know he's been in our hearts and in our minds and in our prayers, and so we'll continue to do that. And believe he will have to spend the night Wednesday night, so we want to remember him. Piper's having a procedure on Thursday, so we want to remember her. And also to, I believe, Dave is also seeing the doctor sometime within the next week or so. So I want to remember Brother Dave in our prayers as well. Put on your calendars for this Friday night, April 19th, as our monthly Ecclesiastes Bible class on Friday. So that's April 19th, this Friday, at the Kaysen's house. So we want to remember that. It's on chapter 4, and that starts at 7. So let's remember that. Also, an opportunity to go to a gospel meeting at Westside this week in Owensboro. Kenny Moore will be holding that gospel meeting. And so the times or days that you can go is you could go tonight at 6, and you could go Monday, Tuesday, or Thursday. But just remember, you have plans Wednesday and Friday. Okay, get the message? Keith will be leading or singing, and his numbers are posted, so if we want to turn there and get that ready. Mark Nevins will be leading our opening prayer. Dan will be heading the table, and James will be assisting with that. Tim Clark will be closing prayer, and our guest speaker today is Chuck Bartlett from West Virginia, and he will be preaching for us today. Let's go to God in prayer before we start our song. Dear Lord, with gladness in our heart, we're thankful for the opportunity to be brothers and sisters in Christ and to have the opportunity to be here together, brothers and sisters in Christ, a family of God, like precious faith, meeting today and worshiping you, Lord. Father, help us with our hearts and our minds to be centered upon you, upon your love, your grace, and your mercy, upon your gift of your Son, Jesus, as we'll have the opportunity to partake of the Lord's Supper. Father, that we have planned and purpose in our heart as we will have an opportunity to give back to you, Father, and that we've planned to do that as well, Father, that we'll sing and make melody in our heart to you this morning, Father. Father, we have so much. You have blessed us so richly. We're thankful for that, Lord. We're thankful for your love, your grace. We're thankful for forgiveness of sins. We're thankful that we're able to meet and worship you this hour. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.
291. It's a beautiful Lord's Day morning. Let's all take out a psalm book and sing out praises to God. 291. I know not why God's wondrous grace to me He hath made known, nor why unworthy Christ in love redeemed me for His own. But oh, I am believing and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I committed unto Him against that day. I know not how the Spirit moves, convincing men of sin, revealing Jesus through
the King in His love.
Father.
Father in heaven, as we come before you this morning, we're deep grateful, Father, for this day, the time and place to come to assemble ourselves, to worship thee in spirit and truth. It is our prayer, Father, that we bring our minds and thoughts from out of the world and to keep them focused upon this worship, upon thy word, that we have in our hearts the desire to give thee the glory and the honor of being the creator of this universe and all things therein. We're thankful, Father, for the blessings of life. We pray that we are good stewards of those blessings, that we use them to benefit thy cause and to claim thy word and expand thy kingdom in this locality and within our lives. Be grateful, Father, for those spiritual blessings that from the outset that you knew that man was with sin and that sin would enter the world and that it would require your sacrifice of your son, Jesus, that perfect lamb to bear the sins of the former world upon that cross. Be grateful for Jesus to empty himself out of that heavenly home and to be the form of a man upon this earth to do just that. That we can look through him and through his example that we can glean from that in every way he was like we are, that he suffered the pains and anguish of life itself, and that we can look at his life as an example, and we pray that we can do that and be as we need to be, Christ-like. Pray, Father, this morning that those that are sitting here that above that age that they have not become a Christian, that something will be said or done in this side of eternity, Father, that their hearts would be pricked in such a way that they would come to realize that they need to have you as Lord and Master. That the day that death comes or the second coming of Jesus comes, it would be too late. But we have a desire on this side of earth, Father, to live our lives in such a way that if we do have sins, Father, that we would come to acknowledge them, to confess them, and obviously to resolve those sins and to stand right according to thy will. We pray that our names be in that book of life, that when judgment does come, that we can hear those faithful words, enter into thy heaven with thee. Pray, Father, that you give us the courage to present thy word and to those that we come in contact with, whether it be our manner of speech or way of life, that we would be able to answer any questions that they may have about our faith. But we know that we will sow the seed and water and leave it up to thee to increase. Continue to bless each one of us here now assembled. Bless this work that we are doing here at this locality. We ask that you be with the elders and to give them the wisdom to guide us through this and be with the deacons and all of us to uphold their hands and to defend the faith. Pray for those that are away, traveling, those that are sick. It be our desire, if it be thy will, to return them to us. And be amiss, Father, to pray for those that have fallen away in recent days and weeks and months, that we pray that something may be said or done to have them to understand their relationship with thee and to make that right as well. Continue to bless us, Father. We pray that we are good stewards of all things you've given us. In Christ's most holy name, amen.
Amen.
In just a moment, we're going to observe the Lord's Supper. Before we do that, I'd like to sing song number 444 to help prepare our minds for that. Just observing the Lord's Supper. Number 444.
There was one who was willing to die in my stead, that a soul so unworthy might live.
32, it says there, Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." And they said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." We were speaking in the adult Bible class this morning. Chuck touched on the idea of giving liberally, and he said that that was indicative of the condition of our heart, that if we're seeking to give often, that means that we're, in a broad sense, you know, seeking to do things for the Lord and such as that. And I think we can see a little bit of that same attitude demonstrated in the audience that Jesus was speaking to. He described this bread of heaven, and they were excited by that idea. They said, "Give it to us always." We should have that same attitude when we're gathered here on Sunday mornings. This isn't something just that we should be doing out of authority as a chore or something like that. This would be one of the acts of worship that we look forward to as we are about to do so this morning. So would you please bow with me as we give thanks? Hey, Father, we come to you this morning with the anticipation for this this time of the week, as we're able to give pray about your son and the sacrifice of his body, Lord. For we know that it took that necessary breaking of his body for us to be able to have a chance to join you in heaven, our sins to be forgiven, for us to be right in your eyes. Lord, we know that it was something that didn't come freely, didn't come without pain. We are thankful for that plan, that your son was willing to do this for us. We know that there's nothing we could do to be able to somehow earn our way in or anything like that. And it's in his name that we pray at this time. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Continue in prayer as we give thanks to the Spirit of God. God, our Father, we come to you the second time this morning during our communion, reminiscent of Christ's death and what that means for us, as we give thanks for this fruit of the vine that's before us now, symbolic of his blood that was shed. So we know that, Father, the blood of bulls and goats was shed in the past, but that couldn't do away with sin in any sort of a way that Christ's blood could, that it was a perfect sacrifice. It was sufficient for each one of us to be fully cleansed, to be white as lamb's wool, that we could be we could be truly free of sin, and for the first time since the Garden of Eden. We're thankful for that, Father. We pray that we give it due respect, and that we are willing and able to preach that message to others as we have opportunities. It's in your Son's name that we pray. As a separate part of our worship this first day of the week, we have an opportunity as well to lay by in store as we have prospered. If you were in the adult class, you heard a great deal of conversation about this already. But this is something that the members of a local congregation are called to do. So if you are a guest with us this morning, you're not obligated in any way to participate in this. For all of us who do give, we should understand that this money is going so that the work here at this local congregation can continue. Let's go to God in prayer before we do this. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning thankful, as we have mentioned, for the many spiritual blessings that you give us, but also for the ways that you bless us in the material sense as well. Father, as we live on this earth, we have need of different things. And we know that you are the ultimate provider of all of them. We're blessed beyond anything that we strictly need to survive. We've been richly endowed, and we're very thankful for that, Lord. Our homes and our transportation, the jobs that we have, the environment that's around us, all these things, we recognize that they come from you, and that we should be taking care of them, knowing that they are your things ultimately. We pray that we can that we have a purpose in our heart at this time, that we're prepared to be able to give back a contribution of that so this work at this congregation can continue. We pray for the elders as they seek to use these funds and put them into the work. We pray that what we do here might be effective, that we can continue to reach out to the community, that we can be able to educate and expose more people to your son and his message. All these things we ask in his name. Amen.
Thank you.
take the marker in your psalm book and mark psalm number 103. Psalm 103, that will be our song of encouragement after Chuck's lesson. Once you mark that page, or mark that song number, turn over to psalm number 378. Number 378. It's convenient for which please stand while we sing this song. Number 378.
Just a few more days to be filled with praise and to tell the almost story. Then when twilight falls and my Savior calls, I shall go to Him in glory. I'll exchange my cross for a sorry crown, where the gates swing outward never. At His feet I'll lay every burden down, and with Jesus reign forever. Just a few more years with the toil and tears, and the journey will be ended. Then I'll be with Him where the tide of time with eternity is blended. I'll exchange my cross for a starry crown, where the gates swing outward never. At His feet I'll lay every burden down, and with Jesus reign forever. And the valleys deep with no clouds my way adorning. Though the night be long and my rest a stone, joy awaits me in the morning. I'll exchange my cross for a sorry crown, where the gates swing outward never. At His feet I'll lay every burden down, and with Jesus reign forever. What a joy 'twill be when I wake to see Him for whom my heart is burning. Never more to sigh, never more to die, for the day my heart is yearning. I'll exchange my cross for a sorry crown, where the gates swing outward never. At His feet I'll lay every burden down, and with Jesus reign forever.
Open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. It's good to see everyone out this morning. Philippians chapter 4. We know this verse really well. Philippians 4:4. Paul just comes out and says, "Rejoice in the Lord, and again I say rejoice." We are to be a happy people. We count our blessings. We are so thankful. And you know, you and I, we like to be around people that are happy. We don't like to be around people that are down all the time. It can be depressing. But you know what? When we think about counting our blessing and being a happy people, we have a world that is just trying to seek joy all the time. Now, nobody likes to tell a joke like I do. I mean, I just love to laugh. You know it, being around me. I like to be a happy guy. You want to know something? You're happy all the time, you're not going to heaven. Got that? You won't make it. People out there, they want to seek to be happy all the time. Forget it. It's not going to happen. And I'll tell you something. If you open up your books, Bibles, to the book of Ecclesiastes, the third chapter. You guys discuss this. We've got it up and down. Great chapter. Time for everything, right? I want you to go over to Ecclesiastes because we're going to be reading something else in this book a couple chapters later. But first of all, Ecclesiastes chapter 3 tells us in verse 4, a time to weep and a time to laugh. You know, there are times when we need to weep. We need to. Now turn over to the seventh chapter. I want you to look at this. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, look at verse 1. A good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. Better to go to the house of mourning. You get that? Better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. For that is the end of all men, and the living will take it to heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, for by a sad countenance the heart is made better. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. You know, there's a time to laugh and a time not to. You know, we didn't get Dan didn't get around the table this morning. He says, hey, funny thing happened to me on the way here today. And tell a joke when you're around the Lord's table. It's not a time to be funny. No, we get serious about that. But you know, as he talks about here, it is better. When we think of mourning, we think of sadness. I want us to understand that there's a lot of good that can come from that. Now, Debbie thinks I'm just a little strange. I know she's not the only one, but there's something I do. And I don't know if you know I do this, but I get on YouTube from time to time, and I'll type in sad endings to movies. What are you doing? I'm just looking at all these sad endings to movies. You know, what do you want, sit around and cry? But you know what? I don't know if it's therapy or whatnot. I feel good afterwards. I don't know why, but I feel good. Maybe it has something to do with what we're talking about this morning. But you know, there are a lot of benefits that we get from mourning. And I'll tell you this much. If you try to dodge that, and if you try to pull a Carly Simon and learn how to hide your feelings, don't cry out loud. You know, the whole point is, if you don't go to the house of mourning, if you don't have sorrow, you're not making it to heaven. And there's just a lot of good that comes from it. Now, I know we're happy people, but the world doesn't understand the peace that passes all understanding. They don't get it. But they're trying to be happy all the time. You ever be around somebody like that? And they're just joking all the time. No, I'm trying to make a point. No, that's serious. You don't laugh all the time. You don't. So what are some things that comes from going to the house of mourning? Where's the positive in that? Go to John chapter 11. Let's learn from our Lord. Let's learn from our Lord. John chapter 11, verse 31. John 11, 31, and the Jews who were with her in the house, comforting her, and they saw Mary rose up quickly and went out following her, saying, she is going to the tomb to weep there. Then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? And they said to him, Lord, come and see. And Jesus wept. And the Jews said, see how he loved him. Folks, when you walk in that door this morning, and if you come in that morning, and you're down, something bad, some bad news or whatever, good for you. Good for you. There are times when you're not feeling good. I got up the other night there in West Virginia, and they just announced some bad news about one of the members there that took a turn for the worse, just a young girl. And you could just hear the audience just go, oh. Well, that's good, because it demonstrates compassion. You see, when you can mourn, you can have compassion for one another. Jesus, look, in just a few moments, you're going to raise him from the dead. Come on. Cheer up, everybody. Even the Lord himself cheer up. If I was at a funeral, and if I'm there and I'm thinking, you know what, I've got to wipe away these tears, I'm going to raise him from the dead. And if I could raise him from the dead, there goes the tears. Now that everybody's happy. Jesus knew he was going to raise him from the dead, and why is he weeping? Why is he weeping? He groaned within. He sees what's going on around him. And it creates within us this desire to show compassion. And that's where Romans chapter 12, verse 15. We weep with those that weep. We do that here. We don't push it aside. We're not cold and callous. Oh, so you got some bad news about cancer. Yeah, well, I've had arthritis in my finger for a few years. No. We're not that cold and callous. It hurts us within. And I'm telling you, folks, if you can't go to the house of mourning, you're not making it. You're not going to be able to serve the Lord the way you want. You will not grow as a person. And for you and I, we can look and we can have compassion upon other people and learn from our Savior. And it does. It illustrates. I always remember when Danny McKibben, when his son died. I got the email in the morning. Debbie comes out of the bathroom and she says, what's wrong? I can't even talk. I'll never forget that. The day his teenage son was in a car accident. So, well, why are you acting that way? No, that's a good thing because, you know, you have compassion and you've all gone through it. it's a good thing that you can do that, and you can have that sorrow in your heart, and you don't run away from it, and you don't hide it, and people want to hide it and run away from it and not want to show it. That happens, you're not going to be very a compassionate person. But I think what's linked with that is that over in Acts chapter 20, let's turn to Acts chapter 20. And I'm going to pick it up in verse 28. And of course, this is where Paul summoned the elders at Ephesus. Acts 20, verse 26. He's already started talking to them. He also said to them, he said, "Therefore I testify you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also, for from among yourselves men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after themselves. Therefore watch, remember, that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone, night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance amongst those who are sanctified. I have coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. Yes, you also know that these hands have provided for my necessities and for those who are with me. I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak and remember the words of our Lord Jesus when he said it's more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them. And then they all wept freely and they fell on Paul's neck and they kissed him. Why? Because he said fat savage wolves are going to come in. No, look what he said. He said, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spoke, that they would see his face no more. I'm telling you, folks, going to the house of mourning can create a strong bond with brethren. And it created a strong bond there. I don't know if you guys know this. I'm not afraid to admit it. You guys remember when Keith was going to move to Tupelo, Mississippi? The guy just wouldn't make up his mind. Are you going to move or are you going to stay? Haven't decided yet. Went down there, house of church there. Great bunch of people there. They've got kids. For our kids, you know, it's wonderful down there. Great. I know where you're going. And, you know, have you made your decision? No, have you made your decision? Finally called him on the phone the day he had to make his decision. I figured I knew what his decision was. And I said, well, what'd you decide? And when he told me, I couldn't talk. Goodbye. You know, I'm a mess. Told Debbie, I think we had a male bonding moment. You know, from that point on, we've never been the same. But the point is that those kind of things are a happy thing, but the point is you just don't avoid it. It just it brings us closer together. And we as God's people understand that. Now, I'm not talking about discipline here, but there's a phrase in here that pertains to what I'm talking about over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. You know where Paul says, you know, you should have disciplined this guy, but that's not the point I'm trying to make. So don't miss my point. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1, he says, it's actually reported that there's sexual immorality among you, and such sexual immorality is not even named among the Gentiles, and a man has his father's wife. Now look what he says. You are puffed up and you have not rather mourned. This should have bothered you. It bothers us, doesn't it? It hurts us. I don't ignore it. So-and-so is in sin. Who cares? No. It bothers us. Does it bother you? I lose sleep over it. You lose sleep over it. It upsets us. Oh, Chuck just doesn't care. Those members don't care. No, we go to the house of mourning. It bothers us. And it should bother us. I'll go to the house of mourning. I'll cry over a brother or sister. Somebody who's not living properly. I can't ignore it. And I won't ignore it. But the point is that it's a good thing because you know what? When we have that relationship with one another, you're going to want to help that brother. That's the problem here. Because they didn't mourn. They didn't deal with it. They avoided it. Deal with it. That's what we do. You know, if we come in here earlier and one of the members comes up and they're crying on the front row, what do you think I'm doing at the back there? Just don't go near them. They're crying. Mm-hmm. Is that what we do? Avoid them? No, everybody's going off. What's wrong? Is everything okay? We're understanding. It builds bonds, and that's why we care for one another. It's hard to weep with those that weep when they keep it inside. They don't want to talk about it, and they've got problems. We help each other, folks. You want to go to the house of laughter? He said, it's better to go to the house of mourning. And I know your life isn't great all the time. I know that. Get in line. But the point is, we have a peace that passes all understanding. We are a happy people, aren't we? I'm a happy person. I'm a happy person. You know, if something bad happens at home, you're not going to take me right in that moment when I get bad news. Chuck, are you happy to be a Christian?
Yeah, but I'm kind of upset right now about this. Jesus hanging on the cross. Do you love your Father? Yeah, I do. But I'm hurting right now. And he was. And so the point is, guys, this world, they don't understand. They think it's strange. Go to the house of mourning? I'll avoid that at any cost. I'm not going to some funeral home. I don't like it. It makes me feel bad. Brother so-and-so's husband or wife or parent died. I'm not going there. I'm just uncomfortable. I don't know what to say. Well, I learned from Danny McKibben. When he told me about when his son passed away, he told me afterwards, he said, Chuck, there's one thing I just don't understand. I said, what's that, Danny? He says, why does everybody have to say something? Everybody had to say something. It's not what he wanted to hear. He's wanted their presence. You know, when he describes that when they had to turn off the machine, and before they turned the machine off of his son around the bed, every member came in and walked around the bed to say goodbye. Those brethren were close. He said, we're not afraid of it. We're not afraid of it here. And we have ups and we have downs, and there'll be challenges. Turn to Luke chapter 7, if you would. Let's look at yet another thing that we can learn from going to the house of mourning and not trying to dodge it and avoid it and stay away from it. Luke chapter 7 and verse 36. One of the Pharisees asked to eat with him, and he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. Behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus was at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil. And he stood at his feet behind him, weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet with and anointed them with the fragrant oil. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would know that what manner of woman this is who is touching him. For she's a sinner. And Jesus answered and said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. He said, say it, teacher. There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii, the other 50. And when they had nothing in which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of the two of them loved him more? Simon answered and said, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. And he said to him, you have judged rightly. Then he turned to the woman and said to the woman, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, and to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. You know, it's easy to show humility when you go to the house of mourning. You're willing to do that. You recognize that. We will humble ourselves before our Lord. That's a great thing. And so we will do these kind of things. We recognize that we are not to be puffed up and arrogant. Who enjoys going to the Lord? Who enjoys going to prayer? Hey, God, please forgive me of my sins. I don't enjoy that. I'm looking forward to someday, time no more, for the Lord to come back. And I'm tired of temptation. I'm tired of it. Temptation is everywhere. And our adversary is working at us constantly. There's no joy. There's no joy in thinking about Jesus dying on the cross for something I did. Where's the joy in that? We know we have mixed emotions, that we're thankful that he did, and we're glad he did, because as Mark mentioned in his prayer, we couldn't earn it. We can't earn our salvation. There's no joy in that. But it helps us to become a humble person. People who try to avoid that, they're not doing it. They're not going to the house of mourning. Remember Luke 18? Luke 18, I won't read it all, but Luke 18, he tells us in verse 13. The tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. What's that got to do with the sermon? Do you ever beat your breast because you're happy? A gorilla might do that, but we don't do it. And I don't see this guy being happy when he beats his breast. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I'm a sinner. I feel bad. You ever feel bad? You know, if you want to be happy all the time, dear God, thank you for the forgiveness of sin. You know, please forgive me of my sins. I'm happy about it. I'm not happy about that. We go to the house of mourning. We have godly sorrow. We don't avoid sorrow. We pour our heart out to God and we repent and we turn from those bad things. That's what God wants to see. God wants us to see that we truly care. And how come? Because we go to the house of mourning. Remember Acts chapter 9, it'll save time. Remember Dorcas? She dies, Tabitha. And the widows are there. They're all weeping. Look at the garments she made us. Look at the garments she made us. They're sitting around talking about what this one did for them. And that's what happens when you go to the house of mourning. It reveals that the love you have. Do you ever go to a funeral? What's everybody doing? They're just talking about the person. Talking behind his back. But they're just talking about him. But why are they doing that? Because they care. You know, they're not showing the garments of, look, she made this one. It was a little too small. I didn't really like it in the first place. No. No, their heart is broken. They're weeping. And they're showing Peter and others, look what she made for us. We love this woman. You and I understand by going to the house of mourning that it demonstrates how much we care, the love that is there. I do funerals. I tell them, don't not cry. I tell them just the fact that you're here demonstrates how much you care. And the tears that people shed shows that they love. They love that person. Go ahead. You've had your heart broken before. You've been sad. I know you've cried. Do you want to know something? That says something good about you. It would say something bad about you if you didn't. You understand what I'm saying? It's a good thing, and that's why you have in Ecclesiastes, it's better to go to the house of mourning. And you know what? This Luke 15, I'm not reading it all. You know the story of the prodigal son. But I want you to notice something. In the middle of this story, when the prodigal son decides he's going to go home, verse 18. Luke 15, verse 18, he says, I will arise. I'll go to my father. I'll say to him, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. The father ran and had compassion. I want you to tell me something. If he felt that way before, how did he feel before that? How did he feel about that? How did he feel about his son being gone? Do you know what the mourning or the compassion here demonstrates? A desire to help. I mean, that's the whole point. And I started off talking about that and briefly over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We have compassion because we want to help the lost. It hurts us to see people lost. And you don't think the devil doesn't want us lost? He wants to tear this church apart. He wants to tear us apart. And I'll talk about that, Lord willing, this afternoon. We'll talk more about specifically how he can do that. But folks, we need to have that compassion of wanting to reach the lost, helping our brothers and sisters. That's what it's all about. And that's what going to the house of mourning will do for us. We don't ignore it. We don't care. Man, I can't. I got to get... I feel bad, you know, but the master's is on. I got to get home. You know, out of mind, right? We don't think about it. And so we want to, you know, I want to laugh all the time. And there's people out there that are doing all that they can to stay busy, 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 and get caught up in this world because I've got this activity and this activity, and they're not slowing down enough to even mourn. And because of that, they're not growing, and they're not useful, and they'll miss heaven. Don't miss heaven. I'm not trying to turn you all into a bunch of crybabies. It's not my point here. And you know there is a time to weep and a time to laugh is what I'm saying. But I want us to see that there's benefits that come from it. I'm not yelling at you. Okay, I'm yelling, but I'm raising my voice. Not angry. Now look over there in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. This is one of the great things about going to the house of mourning. You see, Chuck is talking like he's like, did he talk this fast in West Virginia? Why? Time-wise, I knew I had a lot of points this morning, folks. So, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Look at verse 7. You know this. And lest I should be exalted above measure, by the abundance of the revelation, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. Nobody likes pain. I want it gone. You don't know what I'm going through in this life. You know what? You feeling down? Yeah. Read on. concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times, it might be depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Boast in my infirmities? Look at verse 10. Therefore, I'll take pleasure in infirmities. Take pleasure in infirmities? The world doesn't understand. How do you take pleasure in infirmities? Wait a minute, I thought you're mourning. I thought you were having sorrow. How do you take pleasure in that? See, that's what they don't understand, the peace that passes all understanding. They don't know the inner peace. They don't understand that you have something that's beyond this world. We take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses. In Christ's sake, for when I'm weak, then I am strong. I don't want people saying, I want to live where I don't face any persecution. I don't want to have hardship in my family. I don't want to have these difficulties. And I want people supporting me in all my decisions. Guess what? You're not making it to heaven. Because you're sitting back and saying, I don't want to mourn. I don't want to have difficulties. Woo-hoo! Sorry, Chuck. Look! Chuck, suck it up! You got problems. You know, when I was on my back for 3 months, I didn't know if I'd ever get up. Laying on that couch, people think I'm a couch potato. Laying down there, no pain. Sit up, ow! Lay back down, gone. Good. Get up, ow! 3 months, laying on that thing. What came from that? A lot of prayers. A lot of Bible reading. A lot of emails to brethren, keeping in touch. What's going on? I didn't know if I would ever get that. But I'm telling you, when you have those things, and that's nothing compared to what some of the things you guys have gone through. But there is benefit, and that's what he's talking about here. In weakness, I got stronger because I was willing to go to the house of mourning rather than trying to avoid it and miss it and just say, you know what, I want happiness all the time. You want to know something? If you want happiness all the time, why in the world would you want to go to heaven? See, heaven is there to show us that this isn't heaven. There's something better waiting for us. That's why you get over to Revelation chapter 21, where our Lord promised that there's going to be no more tears, no more sorrow. I want to go there. I want to go there. But I don't want heaven to be here. If heaven is here and everything is wonderful in my life and I've never had any problems, I don't cry. I don't have any mourning in my heart. I'm not going to the house of mourning. I got too much to be thankful for. You know, I got a brand new set of clubs, you know, and the country club, and I got my friends I get together with, and we play all the time, and life, I let the kids do anything that they want. I don't say no to my children. You think I want my children to stand up like a sore thumb and not have friends everywhere? I let them do whatever they want. Life is good for me. Parents, you don't want mourning? Say goodbye to your children. You don't want to mourn? Say goodbye to your children. You mourn. You sorrow. You have tough times exercising tough love. It's not easy. But if you say, but I don't like it when they get mad at me, Chuck. I don't like when they cry. I don't like when they say, I'm never talking to you anymore. You don't like that? So you want to avoid the sorrow in your heart? Yeah, I want to avoid that. Well, get ready. It's about to multiply by 10,000 degrees. I shouldn't have said degrees, but whatever. It's going to multiply. If you're trying to avoid mourning, you don't want to get hurt. Last week, little Peyton, we're best buds. She gave me a little star. She's 3 years old. We're best buds, she'd say. But when something happened last week, she'd go, you're breaking my heart. She'd get that, you're breaking my heart. And Mom would go to your room and cry. When you're finished crying, come on back up. She'd come back out. Ready to eat? Yep. Say you're sorry? I'm sorry. Let's go. But what Mom's like, oh, I don't like that. She said, I'm breaking my heart. Okay, I won't make you eat your vegetables. Come on. No.
Man, this sermon's exhausting.
And my point is, it makes you stronger. All right. Last passage in the lesson is yours. And I can't believe I did it on time. But James chapter 4. Here it is. Our Lord tells us, you're not a Christian, you better listen to this. You're a Christian that's fallen. You didn't do what the Lord wants you to do. You're not where you need to be. Listen to what our Lord says about this. James chapter 4, beginning verse 7. Here's what he says. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Here it is. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter return to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. That's what Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are those that mourn. Why? Because when you'll admit how you are in the eyes of God and accept that, it'll be like little pain. It'll break your heart. And you'll be like those in Acts chapter 2. Their hearts were pricked. Men and brethren, what shall we do? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. Don't become hard-hearted. If you're not a Christian, you're going to get up and you're going to walk out that door and you're going to say, so he died. Have we become callous? Where we can't mourn anymore? You've sinned against the Lord. You know what? I don't care. I'm here, aren't I? Lament and weep and mourn so that you can be built up. And that's when a person comes with a broken and contrite heart and they realize that they've done wrong and they want to be right in the sight of God. And I want to encourage you guys to continue to go to the house of mourning as you have been. That's how you are growing, and we're doing all these things that we talked about today. But if you're not right with God, don't let the devil win. Because the devil says, that's childish to show that. That's a sign of weakness. Remember, Dad? Get up, wipe it off. It's broke. Get up. You know what? People don't want... That's the devil talking, saying, your soul is not right with God. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. But no, you're going to say, no. My heart's broken. I've been pricked in the heart today because of God's message. And I'm not leaving here today unprepared. And I'll tell you this much. You leave here unprepared, there are people here who are mourning for you because that shows how much they care. There's parents who mourn for family members, want them to go to heaven. Other family members mourning for their family members, wanting them to go to heaven. You don't realize that hearts are being broken, but they're not apologizing for them being sad because they know that that demonstrates their love, their compassion, their desire to help. And folks, if you're subject to the invitation in any way this morning, don't pass it up. Don't pass it up. As we stand together and sing the song announced.
Unto Jesus, He will save you. Though your sins as crimson glow, if you give your heart to Jesus, He will make it white as snow.
This morning and we're lesson this morning. I have one additional announcement to make about my father. He is going to be undergoing a stress test this week, so if you pray for him in this upcoming week, pray that the tests are favorable and everything's okay. I appreciate that. I'd like to invite or thank our visitors for coming out and visiting with us. Invite you back again this afternoon at 4 p.m. if you have the opportunity. We'd love to see you. If you have a chance to stick around after services so we can get a chance to know you better. If there's nothing further, we'll now be led in our closing prayer.
Father, our God and Creator, we're so blessed and thankful you've given us another day of life and day of life. Fall on this Lord's Day, and we can come here and give you the praise and honor and glory that is due to you as our Creator, Father. Thank you so much for allowing us to hear your word proclaimed in the Bible class today. In both sessions, Father, we've learned about the condition of the heart, and that our heart should be always right with you and in contact with the situation. And Father, we know there's a time to laugh and a time to mourn, and pray that you'll help us to know the difference. Father, we pray that you'll help us to edify each other by being here, that we can all strive harder each day to do your will, Father. We pray that you'll help us to pray for each other if we have the opportunity. We heard mentioned today that young Piper has a procedure coming up, and Warren also. Brother Terry has a procedure coming up, and Dave has some health issues. We know that Nevin's struggling with health issues, Father, and we want to do our part to pray for them, to ask you to, on their behalf, Father, to bring them through these difficult and trying times, and to allow them to have their health that they desire, Father. We know that you're always there for us, and the blessings that we see all around us, they all come from you. Help us to recognize that you're the Creator of all, and that it's not the things that are wrong in our lives that are you taking things away, it's that us falling away from you, Father, and accepting the world and the devil that's out there, that there's so many distractions that are there for us that we don't want to fall into those temptations, Father. So keep us strong. Father, as we end the service today, we ask that you'll help us to go up to the world and to touch someone's life by our lives, by what we say or what we do, that we might lead them to you. We pray for the efforts of trying to reach the lost of this congregation and help us in the radio program and sending bulletins and finding those souls that are so desperately needing you, Father. Keep us strong this week as we go out to the world, Father, and face the temptations. Help us conquer those trials. We ask that to be your will, you allow us to arrive back again this afternoon and worship you. We ask all these things in the name of Jesus, your Son. Amen.
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 By the way,